Welcome to How to Trade It, the road to trading mastery. Join Casey Stubbs, a seasoned trader, as he guides you to become a profitable trader. Find actionable insights, real life stories, and strategies to boost your trading skills. Don't miss the journey to trading victory. Start listening now. Connect with us at podcast@tradingstrategyguides.com. Trading profits are just an episode away.
Hello, everyone. Once again, we are here with a new episode of the How to Trade It podcast. And today I'm really excited to have Blaine, who is the host of the Penny Lane podcast. Thanks for being on the show today, Blaine.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled.
How many other trading podcasts have you guested it on?
Three.
So you've had like 100 guests, but you've only guested it on three.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's normal for a lot of podcasters.
Mm-hmm. I also am not an expert trader. Well, this is my fourth. So there we go. But I'm not like an expert trader. And so I don't have really a ton of a wealth of knowledge to pass on to other people. People really only have me on because they like the show. So,
well, I would happen to say that as a fellow podcaster, you might not have as much experience, but you do have a wealth of knowledge because you're extracting that knowledge from your guests. Would you agree
totally
with that?
Yes, absolutely. I was doing a podcast last night, and like the people that I have access to and the services I have access to is all, it's just incredible. Yeah. And I've learned from the best people in trading.
Yeah. And just keep getting amazing people on your show, and you're just going to be blown away. Like, that's just going to, like, I've benefited so much from my show just from meeting amazing people and the relationships and the experiences and the wealth of knowledge that I've been able to extract. I think I could become a better trader after every episode.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I've learned a lot of, stuff. And so I'm just like, okay, what can I apply? What can I learn? What do I need to improve? You know? And, it's really helped me out a lot.
For sure.
So what is probably the most, and I'm going to talk to you about your trading background here first, but it's just gone a little different direction. What do you think is the best thing that's happened to you or the most interesting thing that's happened to you on your podcast so far?
I think actually it was not my podcast, but I think the highlight of my podcasting career was going on Penny's Going in Raw with Dan and Hugh. I really started my podcast because I liked their podcast so much. And when I started, I was like, well, my goal was to go on their podcast, and it took a year, but I finally went on, and it felt just like such a huge thing. And now we're friends, and I've met them both in person, and we text. So that just felt like, oh, that's something I really wanted. And then it happened. I also interviewed, not trading related, but she did come on my podcast. I interviewed Ellen Hildebrand, who's my very favorite author. And that was like a massive bucket list thing. So, yeah, two great things.
So, just jumping on that, just an experience that I've had from some of my mentors and, some of, the people that I've worked with. It's really cool when you have people that you admire, or me as a trader and as a business person. You know, I'm really heavily invested in my trading company because I teach people how to trade, and I have a big educational platform and lots of customers. So I'm growing this business and I'm trying to become a great trader. But what is really cool is I have all these trading mentors and I have all these business mentors. And as I do the podcast and as I grow my business, these mentors then become friends later on. And like you said, with your show. And I think that, when you go into something that serious, that intense and that your mentors become your friends, there's just so much value in that that you can't even really describe.
Totally. Totally. It feels, sometimes I get a little discouraged that I'm not like further along in my podcasting or trading journey, but it's always helpful to look back and be like, but you've come further than you ever thought you would come. You know, it's an interesting perspective that way. And I've had people DM me on Twitter and say that when my show first started, it was very hard to listen to because I just like had no idea what I was talking about. They used the word cringy. Like it was so cringy to listen to. And now they're like, oh, I listen to every episode. I love it. So that's fun.
Yeah. I don't really understand the word cringe. My kids tell me that everything I do online and on podcasting is cringy. So
sure.
I don't really know what that means.
Sure. I actually, my son just turned 8 and he just taught me the word yeet, which when I first heard it, I was like, that doesn't sound like a like good word for you to use. And he was like, oh, mom, like you just don't get it. And then I'm his Cub Scout leader and all of his friends like were walking up with their book bags and they were throwing their book bags over on the bleachers. And they were like, I'm just going to yeet my book bag over there. Like I just yeeted my book bag. And I was like, God, like stop saying that. And they were like, it means throw. Like, excuse me. Okay. I'm being cringy. Like, cause I don't understand the word.
Yeah. That's pretty, my kids do that too. Oh, I could tell you some of the weird stuff they say. It's hilarious. So tell me a little bit about your trading. How long have you been trading? What do you trade? What's your strategy? And I'm throwing 5 questions at one. And how's that going for you?
Sure. I started in 2020 as a COVID trader, like a huge number of people. I started on Robinhood. I started by taking Robinhood suggestions. So like my first big trade was Workhorse. It was all the rage there. I think Workhorse is like electric vehicles and they were going to do something with the government. It was all, and I was like, oh yeah, of course, electric vehicles. And then I also wanted to invest in Beyond Meat because COVID had just started and I was at the grocery store and there were like supply chain issues. And I was found myself fighting this other woman over a bag of frozen cauliflower. And then it like came up in the news that there was a meat supply shortage. So I was like, well, of course, like it'd be great to be invested in Beyond Meat. So I texted my brother-in-law and said, like, how stupid would it be if I opened a Robinhood? And he was like, not stupid at all. That's like what people do. People invest. So anyway, opened the Robinhood, did some things like that, made some money, lost some money. Joined Motley Fool, which was it took too long, you know, they're like a 3-year investment. That's not for me. Joined Twitter. And then I got kind of sucked into, do I want to be a Tim Sykes Challenge student? So went down that road, realized that wasn't for me. And then kind of got into just the whole Twitter community and started listening to some trading podcasts and was like, ah, this is like where I'm meant to be. So, started off in small caps and, you know, small caps were great for a long time and I loved it. And then the small cap market went away and now I'm in options, like exclusively trading options. And I day trade them. I'm trying to learn how to swing trade them, which is same concept, but I've always wanted to be a day trader. So
hello, this is Casey and I wanted to take a minute to tell you about my new book that just came out. It's called Complete Trading System. This is my 25 years of trading experience, sharing everything that I have learned in how to make a profit from the markets. You're going to learn about how to find the right instruments to trade, how to find a trend, how to get started as beginners. You're going to learn about how to get the right mindset, and you're going to be able to put it all together to create a trading system of your own that will work for you. I highly recommend that you try it out. Just click the link right now. It's called Complete Trading System. It's available on Amazon. Thank you. Go ahead and check it out. I think you're going to love it.
Now, there's a lot of different things to do with options. There's a million and one different option strategy. You know, my dad is an options trader, and he does like credit spreads. He trades for credit. I do some options trading, but I don't do credit spreads. I'll just buy a call or a put. I like directional trading. I like to pick the direction, and the returns can be pretty good on options. The losses can be pretty big as well. What kind of options trading do you do?
Same sort of as you. I like to buy a call or a put. I like directional trading. I like to buy weeklies at the money. I try not to get too caught up on, you know, playing the delta or the theta or any of those things, which I think are very, very like hard for new traders to wrap their mind around what the Greeks mean. And I thought, I'm not someone who needs to know everything about everything, or I would never start. You know, there's some people who are like, I have to fully understand this concept. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to do that, but enough to just like kind of know. And then someone just gave me the cheat of like, you don't really need to know if you just buy at the money. Like you just choose a direction and buy at the money and like you'll kind of be okay. So started doing that, and then have like gone a little bit more into spreads or hedging. I'm learning about hedging, and I'm learning about buying time and buying further out contracts and things of that nature.
A little bit more money for the at the money, but you have more time, which then helps your ability to withstand a pullback.
Totally.
Yeah.
You don't have to be as right.
The further out it is, the more cushion there is. Right. Yeah. But you pay for that time in the cost of your contract.
Totally.
Which finding a balance is really good. So you're doing it on a day time frame. What do you do to get into the trade? What shows you your entry point?
I go back and forth. I would say that like levels are my number one thing that I like to trade off of, but I also really like puts, but that could just be because like in this market, puts are great. Right.
Puts on everything.
You'll
make money.
If it's like a bear flag into a key level break, you know, and then a rejection of an EMA, that I'm like, oh, this is, you know, I like all those sort of things to happen. I do like flags. I like technical trading.
You're looking for a level and a chart pattern, basically. Uh-huh. Those are two. So do you have like a specific trading plan or a checklist that you use to help you identify those trades?
Well, I mostly trade Apple. So I do, I wouldn't say a checklist, but I understand a lot of the nuances of Apple and how it reacts with like SPY and the Qs and VIX. And I have all those levels drawn. So not a plan, but I can usually like, I think there's inefficiencies between what's going on with Apple and SPY and the Qs. And then I just try to like exploit those inefficiencies.
Okay. So you mentioned when we were first talking before I started recording that you had taken some Apple, you bought Apple puts.
Right.
run me through your decision-making process through today's trade.
I'm pretty red today because at the open spot, like everything was kind of holding. Everything had gapped down today and then it was holding pretty strong and then it broke and now it's holding. I took puts today basically on overall market weakness and that like nothing was it's just such a lack of strength. So I would say that today is more of like a sentiment trade. However, I also looked at the levels. So I tried to take it when it broke, like below 138.8. But I also have this 137.20 level as like a very, 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 very strong support. So my idea is that if it breaks that, there's a significant amount of space below it. And if it holds it, then I'm wrong. Right. But I have a pretty tight stop loss because I would like for it to break it.
Okay. So, if you get a bounce, like I'm actually just pulled that chart up and I can see, there's a couple previous times when it stopped exactly right around 137, little, yeah 137.20 maybe.
Yeah.
19. It stopped there on May 26th. And also on May 24th. So that is a pretty strong support level. So if it doesn't hold there, you're going to get out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it does hold.
Right. If it holds there, which it looks like it wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you manage risk with options trading? And has that been a challenge for you? Because for me, options sometimes is like I either win it big or I lose everything. It's really hard for me to manage my risk trading options.
I like to buy like the opposite way. So there's very little risk, meaning like if I will buy puts at a level of resistance and then there's just like it either rejects or I like will cut it right if it goes over that level of resistance. So there's always like a very small level of risk, but then I do struggle mentally with like, well, but like I actually have a show where I go over my trades with my friend Shark, and it's hard sometimes to know like, is it when it breaks over the resistance, or is it when like a 5 minute candle closes over, or a 15 minute candle, or kind of, like how exactly do you know when to cut it? And I think it just, it like depends on sort of how much you're willing to lose on that. But I like to cut it pretty fast after it breaks. I don't always wait for a candle hold. I don't know. I like to just try to lose a little bit if I'm going to lose.
If you're going to lose, you want to lose a little. And that's okay if you take quite a few losses, right? I mean,
Right. Winning
percentage. Do you have a tracker where you're tracking your winning percentage and your trades and you keep pretty solid on that?
Yeah. So I have like a 65% win rate, which is great. So I know that if I can like keep the losers smaller than the wins, that's good. But I mean, I'm not perfect at that. I have some work to do on that.
So your 65% win rate, and over how long has that been? Is that just since you started option trading from the beginning?
That's in 2022.
So far, year to date.
Yeah, I had to have a clean slate in 2022.
You know what? Sometimes you need that. It's like you get rid of that baggage, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. Well, I got to just say that most of the COVID traders are no longer here. So you might as well pat yourself on the back. Because
absolutely. Yep. Yep. I was doing an interview yesterday and someone threw out a statistic like 98% of COVID traders are gone. So I figure if I can like last through this last 2%, then I'll be doing pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to be one of the 1% that is going to survive. You'll be like, I started in COVID, you know, 20 years from now.
Yep. Yep. And like ground it out, you know?
Yeah. No, that's good. So, so you got in with COVID, and what has been, you know, just what's been some of the high points and the low points in those 2 years of your trading career?
You know, there's been a lot of low points of just taking big losses. And my biggest low point, I think, was right when I was struggling to stay at PDT. That was really difficult because I would like fall below PDT and then I would have to put in money to stay above PDT. And then I like hated myself for having to refund that account because I'd given myself the specific amount of money. I ultimately decided to just move to like remove the margin from that, so I didn't have to worry about PDT. But that was pretty awful. There was also a day where I thought that I had everything figured out and got my very first 100% options trade on an AMD put. That was like amazing. And then I followed somebody else's trade and lost after I'd made the 100% trade, I followed someone else's and ended up red on the day. And that was probably like the biggest rock bottom because I don't like to follow other people's trades, and I like had clearly found my own trade and it was beautiful and it was a great day. So there was a lot of like mental struggle that I went through. That was my like crying, thinking I was going to vomit day. And like the funny part is I was red by like $100 that day. It was nowhere near my biggest loss, but it was just the fact that I like couldn't trust myself enough, even though I'd already proved it to myself. So that was hard. And then I went through, this wasn't that long ago. I think it was in maybe March. And then after that, I did this thing called that I termed the Apple Challenge, where I, was trying to make $50 a day on Apple for 2 weeks, then $100 a day on Apple for 2 weeks, and up until 250. And I made it to 200. Like it was the longest consistent green run that I've ever had, and made it to 200 and then kind of abandoned the challenge and started trading Netflix right after Netflix missed earnings and was making $1,000 a day for like a week and thought that I had everything figured out and then did not. And then was taking like bigger size and Netflix sort of the momentum went away. And then I gave basically all of that money back that I had made on that Apple Challenge and the $1,000 and everything. And then I've just been kind of flatlined since then. And then decided to start over on this Apple Challenge because it made me feel really in control. But it's been like the hardest mental thing I've ever done in my life. There's been a lot more lows than highs. The highs have all come from the podcast, I think. There was one time.
Well, 100% AMD, that's a high.
Yeah, that is a high. And yeah. There was a time where I had DBGI and it came out with Amazon news and I made $6,000 in like 30 seconds. That was a high. There have been some highs, but the lows have just been harder, especially because like my husband doesn't trade. He's not very interested in the stock market. So I just feel kind of lonely and like I'm in this just like solitary path to just.
How does your husband respond to you if you have losing days? Does he get okay with that? And like, does he not? I know usually it's reverse. A lot of the men that trade,
right?
You know, they're like, well, if I blow one more account, my wife told me I'm done.
Right. So it was I started trading with like my savings account of money that I had worked for doing a job since college. So the fact that like it's not his money has been very, very helpful, for us, but I think he just like worries. I'm working on trying to disconnect my happiness from what happens in the market. Like, I have a great family. I have kids. I have him. There's so much, and the podcast is great. There's so much good stuff. And so to try to be like, I am not a full reflection of my trading, or, you know, I'm a separate person. And if I don't trade well, that doesn't mean I'm like a bad, incompetent person or whatever. So, I've been working on that, but he can always sort of tell. Like, I'll try to be kind of extra happy if I've had a red day or something. And he's like, red day, you know, I think it's hard on him because he can't help me and he doesn't know. And he also is sort of like, why are you doing? Like, why are we putting ourselves through this? So he's as supportive as he can be. And he's never told me to quit or anything like that. But he is, if I told him tomorrow that I was going to quit, honestly, I think he'd probably be kind of relieved.
So, you know, it's been 2 years and you've gone through a lot of low points. And I'm just going to ask the question, how come you have not quit?
I really like it.
With all that emotional pain. You like emotional pain?
I guess. I really like being alone. I said when I was little that, not little, like in high school, but I always thought that if I, for some terrible reason, was put in like jail and had to spend a lot of time just by myself in a cell, that I could do it. Like, I like being alone. I like just being in my own head. I like the community a lot. I've made friends that I love just as much as my real life friends. I think that there are a lot of things that I'm good at about trading. And I do think that it's possible to slowly get rid of the bad things. Specifically, like walking away on a red day and not letting it turn into a massive red day, I think is something that is fixable. And that's something that I've struggled with. So, and nothing, like, knock on wood, so bad has happened to me. Like, I still have my initial money that I put in the market. I haven't like fully blown up that account. I've never gone on like massive tilt, and like, I've never done anything like that. And so, and I guess until that happens, I'm just going to keep trying. I'm also like incredibly determined and competitive, and have never, I don't think in my life, tried giving something my all and like not been able to do it. So I'm just going to keep on and hope that the dam breaks at some point and this is all worth it.
I really have to commend you though, because not everyone's personality is different. But not blowing the account is actually pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, like a win. Like, I don't know if you realize that, like, most of the people that I run, the circles that I run with, we've all blown accounts many times. That's like, it's just normal.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore, but like, that's just like the price of the game.
Well, my account's pretty low, right? Like, it's not anywhere near it started, but I'm still in the game. I mean, I actually think that's kind of a badge of honor too, of like, if the quitting point is when you literally lose your initial investment, I have not gotten there yet. And hopefully I won't. I don't know.
I recently started following you on Twitter because Rob did an intro, and I have seen you posting some like cryptic messages. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean by that, cryptic means, I don't know what it means. You say, I know what to do and I did it, or something right. Like that. Like, what is that? When you talk about that, what does that mean?
So I interviewed Radio Silent Play on Twitter. He's an incredible trader. He does a lot of OTC stocks. And he got me pretty deeply into manifesting. And he has been like a mentor to me kind of in that way. And he sends me the manifestations. And he was like, just try, like, it won't hurt you to try this. So I have manifestations that I listen to as I go to sleep and then first thing in the morning. And I, building on that, have put a lot of things into my life to try to get a little bit better at things that I'm not great at. Like, I, for a long time, I stopped drinking because I just wanted to be like as clear and focused as I could on the trades. I've started exercising, which I hate exercising. That's never anything that I thought that I would ever say, but I like am doing that to try to make my trading better. I've started like studying and reading books and just trying to put myself mentally in a place where I guess it's kind of just like being prepared and showing up and trying my best. But my best is not just like, well, I'll just like try again today. Like, I really, really am trying to be mentally and physically prepared. And I, you know, I have traded enough to know that I know how to trade. There's no secret method. There's no secret mentor. There's nothing more that I really, really need to learn. I just need to do the things that I know to do. So I'm just trying to sort of like bring all of that together.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
I think that is a pretty good understanding, that last statement where you said there's nothing else you need to learn. The reason I say that is because I interview a lot of traders, mm-hmm. and I also am a trading coach, and so I have a lot of students. It seems like almost everyone thinks that they're still looking for the next new thing.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, well, if I just get this indicator, if I just learn this strategy, I'm just going to switch from options to crypto. I'm going to go from, you know, and it's always the next line. It's the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Did you go through a phase like that? And did you finally figure out that's just not going to work?
I went through a pretty long time of like, if I could just surround myself with the right people. So I did jump around. I never have really switched. I've refined my strategy very, very much, but I've never really switched. It's just been a constant refinement. But I've really, as I already mentioned, struggled with that confidence of thinking that people might know better than me. So I have struggled with taking other people's calls a little bit. But the thing I struggle the most with is I will have a thesis and I'll have my entry and I will be watching for the trade and I will go look for confirmation that someone else is sort of thinking the same thing that I'm thinking. And I never really find it. Like, what I find is people who are in the opposite, you know, they're short on the trade.
And that ruins your confidence.
And then I freak out. And we'll like move my stop way up or I'll just get out, or it always impacts me. And then, you know, 7 or 8 times out of 10, I was right, but I like let myself be impacted by somebody else. And that feels like a weakness that can be fixed. I tell the story on my podcast a lot, but I'll tell you since you haven't heard it probably. I had dinner next to this. He's a Olympian. He did mogul skiing and then he became a coach for other Olympians. And he was telling me that being an incredible athlete is like the polar opposite of being an incredible competitor. And the thing that differentiates the two is that athletes tend to focus on their strengths and just get stronger and stronger and stronger. And then competitors focus on their weaknesses and are just like obsessive about cutting out the weaknesses. So when it comes time for like an Olympic race, the competitors do better because they're just more prepared for everything. And so I think that that really keeps me going, and that like, if I can just get marginally stronger on my weaknesses, then I will eventually be a very strong competitor. But letting other people influence my thoughts is a weakness of mine.
And so that's kind of, you know, there's a benefit and a benefit. What's the other opposite word of benefit? A negative, a positive and a negative with being on Twitter. The positive is you get some great relationships and you get some really good traders that can encourage you and help you. But then the negative side is you're looking at their trade ideas. Mm-hmm. And so that's just interesting that you have, you kind of have to filter through. You're like, I still need this positive. I still need those relationships, but I just can't use that for my trade ideas.
Totally. The best week of trading I ever had was I completely got off Twitter. I never looked at it. And then I completely got off Discord and was green every day. It was an incredible week. But then I went back and I am influenced by it.
So do you think that you should just cut it out?
You know, probably. I hadn't thought about that. It's been about a year since I did that, and I haven't thought about that I did that for a while.
You know, when I'm looking for confirmation for my trade, I have a checklist, and I keep it right here with my marker. It's laminated, and I'm looking for multiple confirmation. Right. So if I can find a trade that is going in the direction of the trend, that's one confirmation. Then I'm looking for a level. Okay. Then we got two confirmations. Then I'm looking for a chart pattern, like a double top. And then I'm looking for a price action pattern, you know, like an action, not a can, but like a bullish engulfing candle, like, you know, like Rob Smith says, a two.
Yeah.
Those twos. I'm looking for a two, right? A two, two. So if I have like four or five things lined up, and then I'll just write it all down. It's like, okay, I got this, 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 and this. Then that is really a lot of confirmation. And I don't really need anything else other than the market confirms itself by building a story and a case. It's like the more evidence I have, the better it is.
Totally.
Very cool. Overall, after you experienced that like nice winning streak from Apple, do you feel like that would be a great way just to trade all the time and to stop getting distracted with what's popular? You could move over to Netflix and make a lot of money, but it ended up derailing you.
Yeah. I think that I'm going to restart doing this Apple thing only because I also use the like kid in a candy store analogy a lot of like will get distracted of, oh, there's this and there's this and there's this. And I think I just need to be like very, very narrowly focused. So if I could be very narrowly focused and regain some confidence, then I would like to maybe branch out a little bit and continue to do the same strategy. But like at, like, I really like trading AMD. So have maybe five stocks that I know as well as I know Apple. And I think that that would be a very strong base to trade from. A strong and narrow base.
Right. And I think that's a great way to do it. And then you can, I think being, you know, when you say narrow, laser focused.
Right.
Narrow is the path. That's the path to success.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's really smart. And Well, I thank you for being on the show. You know, this has been really good. I appreciate your transparency and sharing the difficult times and the struggle, because that really is, you know, that's the essence of being a trader. If you do research about traders, a lot of the big famous ones have had a lot of sad stories, and some of them never recovered.
Totally.
It's a crazy thing to do, but it's a lot of fun. And thank you so much for sharing.
Of course. Thank you for letting me. I actually am feeling a lot better. I was feeling kind of bad after my Apple calls I took this morning, but thanks for letting me talk through it and tell this story. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I'm watching the price and it's just kind of sitting there.
It hasn't moved. I know. Feel like it's going to reverse.
When do you have to get out? When do you have to get out? Like with your expirations, like do you?
Oh, I took really far away.
Okay. So you have a little bit of time, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I took like a month out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're day trading, that gives you plenty of time.
Yeah.
So what I was getting ready to close, but I'm just curious, what time frame do you look at when you're looking at these?
I look at the daily candle. Since I've been working more on the strat, right, and trying to figure that out, I do try to look at like the monthly, the weekly, the daily chart and see how we're doing. And then if I'm trading in the day, I've been trying to, I don't fully understand the strat, but I do really like the strategy of if it breaks the high or low of day, you can take that trade and then have your stop be the previous day's high or low. Like that seems like such a nice risk to reward. But on those, I will trade off the like 15 minute, 30 minute and 4 hour candle.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. I'm just curious, but I don't really understand the strat either, but I have
it's
been
difficult to understand.
I have been trading the time frames for a long time, mm-hmm. like monthlies and yearlies. And so I've already been doing that. And so I get the reversal patterns. I totally get that. And I get the time frame continuum. I just don't quite understand when they enter and exit trades. That's the only part of it I don't understand.
Yeah. Strat's the only thing that I think, like I told you, I know how to trade and I just want to sort of do more of what I know how to do. But the strat's fascinating to me only because it does let you look at, it gives you another layer of understanding. I don't think it's changed the way I trade. It just like adds another kind of level of confirmation on the checklist, like you were saying.
Right.
And it's very interesting to me in that way.
Right. Especially, another level of confirmation that helps me is kind of looking at the candles and understanding what's happening behind the scenes with order flow and understanding that when a price comes up to a level, what's really happening is the traders are getting taken out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these people hitting stop losses. Like, you know, you might be closing your Apple trade here if it bounces up a little bit. And really all that is it's collecting orders so that it can then go down lower. You know, it needs liquidity. It has to clear out all those orders, buyers and sellers. It basically clears everybody out so that everybody's a loser. And then it goes right to the next level.
Yeah.
Because where the orders are, it's drawn to where those piles of orders are. And so it has to clear them out and then go to the next pile. Your podcast.
Yes.
If, you know, the traders that are listening, I'm sure they're wanting to get to know you more, to hear more about this exciting journey that you're on. And I'm just looking at another chart. Bitcoin is breaking right now. I don't know if you do Bitcoin, but it's going down really nicely. And I had a Bitcoin short on.
There you go.
Sorry for that. I was doing the promo and I interrupted myself. The people that the people that are listening really probably want to check out your podcast. And I highly recommend it. I think, you know, when I listened to the first episode yesterday in preparation for this interview, I was just really impressed because you didn't just talk about trading. You talked about some other stuff too. And I don't usually do that too much. And so it was refreshing in that aspect. And it had some very great trading stories. So if you're interested in real life, interested in trading, interested in all kinds of different things, I think you should check out Blaine's podcast. Tell us a little bit about how they can find it and find you and connect with you.
Sure. The podcast is called the Penny Lane Podcast. You can find me on Twitter. It's Penny Lane BBM. If you just like search Penny Lane Podcast, it's all there.
Okay. Well, I will link to that.
Thank you.
In the show notes, Penny Lane Podcast. And I will link to your Twitter account as well. I'll link to your podcast link. So everybody that's listening, just Google Penny Lane Podcast. Go in, subscribe, check it out. Become a listener. Go and leave a review for her podcast. And that's about it. You know, get engaged in her world.
But, well, thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the show. I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it, everyone, for this episode of the How to Trade It podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be having one next week. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another insightful episode of How to Trade It with Casey Stubbs. We hope you found today's discussion valuable and inspiring. Remember, the road to trading mastery is a continuous one, and your commitment to learning and growing as a trader is the key to your success. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please reach out to us at podcast@tradingstrategyguides.com. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep trading your way to victory. Until next time.